We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
I think it's really important. I know that so many people understand the untapped potential within them. If you don't understand that, can I tell you, there is amazing untapped potential within you. The reason I know most of you already know that is because every time I walk through a bookstore, one of the largest groups and sections of books is what? Self-help, which means we all know we need a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And so as we dig through understanding, you know, how many people would admit they've got a lot more self-help books than they've read? Anybody in here, you know, you run, you buy books, you collect books. You collect them because they look cool, not because you actually dig through. You need to read your books. You need to read your books. But more than that, there's one book that we need to dive into when it comes to self-help. And we need to pick it up more than we pick anything else up. And that's God's Word. How many know the Bible, the Holy Bible, is God's inerrant Word that is still breathing? It's breathing. Anybody ever get out to the great outdoors and take a deep, fresh breath and you're like, why is the air better here? You know what I'm talking about. The youth are about to experience that today as they go to Summerfest. We have over 60 young people going out there this time around. We're excited about that. Very excited. But I'll tell you, there's something about when you decide to open God's breathing Word in your house, how much better the air is. How much the ecosystem changes in your world when you allow God's Word to breathe in your life. And so we've been digging through topics, biblical topics, to help us continue to grow. We talked about a spirit of excellence and how you can raise the bar in your life and God will bless that. We talked about how we need to hear God more. We talked about how we need to live a life of service, right? Because if we're not serving, then we're not being like Christ. Pastor Julie did an amazing job last week preaching on a focus on friendship. How many think we could do a little more, Pastor Julie? Yes. I know you get stuck looking at me. I get it. But listen, but today we are going to talk about a life of love. A life of love. You know, I know that success begins from within. I know that there's a 2.0 or a 3.0 or a 5.0 version of us that we haven't gotten to yet. I know God's best is still ahead. Are you agreeing with all of that? So one of the quotes I read last week or whenever I spoke last time was, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. And how many know that we don't know everything? But when we know one more thing, we can do better than we did yesterday. So we're going to focus on knowing one more thing today, okay? So let's desire to know Christ more. Now when I tell you we're going to talk about a life of love, I know you're going to be like, now, I get it. We just need to be nice to each other. That's not what I'm saying, although that is part of what I'm saying. It's not all of it, right? That's not only what I'm saying. It's far deeper than being kind to your neighbor, although that's required. Love is more than simply being nice to people, whether they deserve it or not. It's more complex than that. Look what Jesus said in John 13. He said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you what? If you go to church? No. If you talk about Jesus? I mean, that's a good thing, but that's not what he said. He said they'll know you by how you love them, not how well they love you so that you can love them in return. Remember the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do, not as they have done to you. Jesus is saying, this is a new command because I understand you used to live eye for an eye. Now I'm telling you, see it through my eyes. Oh, that was better. Yeah, I think I'm preaching better than you're listening. Okay, there's three people excited about what God's going to do today. Okay, those three people, you ready for this? Here we go. Oh, they still let me do this every week. So what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. No, it's 1 Corinthians 13. Listen, what is love? I'm going to tell you. What is love? I know. You don't know how long I've wanted to lay that one down. Oh, what is love? Love is Christ's calling card. Love is God's fingerprints and his trademark. It is how we will be known as his disciples. When we know, or I should say, when we show love to the hard to love people, when we show love to the unexpected and the unaccepted, we leave God's fingerprints. It is his trademark. So can we agree that it's not just about being nice to people? It's further than that. It's deeper than that. Because that is going to be the premise on when we continue to dig here. Don't check out like, okay, Pastor, I can go to lunch. I know I got to love people. No, do you even know what love is? Everyone overseas is like, what are they doing? What is that? I'm sorry. So John 13, it tells us his new commands, right? So you say, I can go home now. No, it's deeper than this. And so if it was that easy, why would God's word go into such detail about what it is and what it isn't and how to do it? Love is not a surface topic. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, how many think that's a good thing? Right? Yes? But do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. What am I saying? Without love, nothing else matters. That's what God is saying. It's not about just being seen as a spiritual giant. It's not just about being seen as somebody who has faith. It's how well do you leave people when you leave them? I've always been told people won't remember much about you other than how you made them feel. That's what's going to stick with them. So God is saying, I'm giving you an opportunity. Jesus is saying, let me tell you my trademark. Let me tell you how people are going to recognize me through you. It's how well you love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is the key. It's the most important thing. And if there's anything that we've learned over the last 16 months, it's that the world doesn't really know how to love. The world knows how to fear. The world knows how to take care of their own. But the world doesn't really know how to love. So let's go to God's word and say, how can I love better? How can I understand love more? So let's get a quick refresher on love. How does love act? We keep going back to 1 Corinthians 13. It says this, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Some of you got to get rid of that book. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So after reading that, I think we'd all agree that love has many faces. It's not just simply being kind, is it? There's a lot more to it. So listen, I'm going to give you some examples of what love is, but I need you to understand, sometimes love is this and sometimes love is that. Done in the right spirit, it's still love, although it feels very different. Okay? Are you stick with me on this, okay? So example, number one, love listens. It listens. We know it says love is patient and love is kind. Love, it does listen. You can close your eyes right now. Go ahead, close your eyes right now and think of that person who you can be open with, who sits and listens. Who sits and listens. They are concerned about your situation, not just trying to prepare a response. They are great listeners. That is a love. But that's not the only kind of love. I'll tell you right now, you need great loving listeners in your life. There are some people that need more than one of them. That was a joke. They talk a lot. No, listen, but we need some people in our life that they are that kind of person. Julie talked about loyal friends, talking about people you can go deep with, right? We need that kind of love in our life. And we also learned last week that not everybody's that. The best way to get hurt is to give the wrong friend all of the deep information, right? And so we need to be very aware and take inventory of our circle. Not that you can't be kind to them. You know, how many know we should be friendly with everyone, but not friends with all? Someone's like, that doesn't sound biblical. Oh, it's exactly biblical. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. But you should be friendly to all people, but it doesn't mean you should be friends with all people. And so some people are shutting off. Keep it on. I'm going to get to the scriptures. It'll back it up, I promise you. But number one, love listens. Number two, love speaks up. So it doesn't just listen. It isn't just a sounding board. It isn't just a safe place to talk and allow, you know, just throw stuff to the wall. Whatever sticks on the wall, sometimes love speaks up about what's on the wall. Are you getting this? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, the scripture says. So what does that tell me? When something that is not true is being spoken, love speaks up. Love doesn't affirm the sin your friend's in. Love loves them, but it speaks up. You're not a friend to me if you allow me to sink. You're a friend to me if you tell me I'm sinking. Right? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, the scripture says. So how can it always protect if it's always silent? Think about the lifeguard. I know it's summer season. I know Shark Week's over, but we can still go there. Because if you didn't know, there are stations that play it all year round. Shark year, okay? But I'll tell you, it's kind of like a lifeguard who says they're for you, seeing a shark coming, and they're just like, this is going to be bad. It's going to be real bad, actually. But I'm listening. I hear you. It's going to be bad. I hear you. I should have said something. Love speaks up. Why? Because love always protects. What kind of lifeguard are you for your friends is the real question I have. They're going into the relationship number five, and it's like mumbo. Mumbo number five. No, look, we need to understand. We got to speak up and protect our friends because that's what love does, right? Love brings correction and discipline, the scripture says. So I know some people are going to say, this doesn't sound like love. That sounds like it could hurt. Well, how many know iron sharpening iron is love, and there's friction that comes to sharpen? One sharpening another, right? And so look what it says in Proverbs 3. It says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke or correction, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. Correction is protection. And done in the right way, it is a great way to show you care. How many know you can do the right thing in the wrong way and then it makes it the wrong thing? You know? It's like, hey, go and share the love of Jesus with somebody. Tell them the truth. And then you, let me tell you the truth. And you're beating them up with the Bible. And you feel like you're doing it right, but you're doing it totally wrong. And Jesus is like, oh, come on. No, there's a right way of doing things. And just because you tell them the truth means you should still do it in love, though. What does that mean? A grace? The same way we are thankful God doesn't give us judgment, instead he gives us grace, we can share love and grace without it being judgy. Are you getting this? Okay. If you know someone is stepping out of God's best for their life, loving them is telling them, not just affirming their sin, because love is honest. Proverbs 27 says this, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. When's the last time you had a friend wound you? Not literally, that'd be weird. But you know what I'm saying? Like just that, like, oh, they said that. And you're like, I didn't like the way they said that. Or I didn't like the fact that they brought that up. I just wanted them to sit silently and hear me. I wasn't asking for correction or a rebuke. I wasn't asking to be sharpened. I just wanted them to be a loving listener. No, loving is correcting. Loving is helping, not just sit and listen. There's time for that, but there's also a time where you need to stand up and speak up. And I hope you know the difference. God's word helps us understand that difference. So Jesus's love, his passion, and his zeal for his church consumed him so much, it was that love that caused him to flip the tables of the money changers in the synagogue. People go, how could Jesus do that? He was angry. Do you know the Bible says angry? But do not sin, or be angry, but do not sin. Do not sin in your anger. What it means is you can be angry and still not sin. How many have ever heard of, holy discontent? or a righteous discontent where it literally, you've got this passion and this zeal and this almost this anger that's bubbling up because you see something unjust. You see something, just injustice around you. You see something that's not right, and it creates an anger. Don't sin in that anger, but understand that's for something. That's not just to sit on. It's to help create good, positive change. And Jesus is good, positive change in that moment. I'm not telling you to flip over the bank tables. You know, don't turn this into your own little thing. I'm just simply saying that love looks very different and has many different faces. Are you getting this? Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called the house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. He had so much passion for his house. He had so much love for his church. He wasn't going to just sit idle and just watch it continue to go down. He was going to rebuke and bring correction. How many are thankful for those kind of people in your life that don't let you fall off the cliff? Do you remember that scripture we said just a few minutes ago? My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. This was exactly what was happening when he was flipping the table. He had such a love for his church that he was willing to rebuke it when it was out of line. For those that don't know, it was all about selling. It was all about money. They were just trying to profit off of people's sacrifices. It had become a den of robbers, a den of thieves. Sometimes love doesn't always feel bubbly and fun, but it doesn't make it not love. You guys are acting like the second experience. You guys with me today? Don't tell him I said that. Shh. Proverbs, again, I was just saying, it says, do not resent his rebuke. You ready for number three? I got to keep moving. Number three, love stands up. Love is loyal and it is devoted. Romans 12, 9 and 10 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Look at, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Look at, love is a loyal thing. It stands up for one another. When we honor others above ourselves, we love them. When we remain loyal in helping them, we show love. Think about this. When Jesus is looking for his friends, those that love and that love him, to show him love, do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? He just wanted them to stay with him. Just stand with me for one more hour. Can't you just pray? Stand with me. The way we show love is being loyal. Are you getting this? He said, just can't you pray with me one more hour? Can't you stay with me one more? There are going to be times in your life where you wonder. Something goes wrong, something hits the fan, something doesn't work the way it's supposed to, and you wonder, who is even going to be with me? The ones that stand with you are truly your friends. The ones that found exit stage left, you can love them and pray for them, but just understand where they stand. Some people think that they can collect best friends like pennies in a piggy bank. That's not the way it works. Jesus had 12 close to him, and out of that, he had three that were his closest. I feel like if I can have three close friends, man, that's like being like Jesus. I'm okay with that, right? I'm just helping somebody out today. Somebody, you feel like you don't have many friends. Can I tell you, only need a few good ones. Be loving to everybody. Allow God to bring new friends in. Maybe your best friends haven't even walked into your life yet. Maybe some young people, maybe your best friends are going to be forged. Those friendships are going to be forged at Summerfest this week and you didn't even know. Be open to what God's trying to do in your life. Don't just assume your best friends will always be those who are just convenient intersections in your worlds. You just happen to be with them in school all the time. You happen to work with them so many years. That might be the case, but it may not. Be open to great friendships, the ones that'll be loyal and stick with you, yes? All right. So number three, sometimes love stands with you and stands up. Number four, sometimes love walks away. Sometimes love walks away. You're going, wait a minute, I thought it was just one thing. That's the problem with the world. The problem with the world is everyone thinks that love has to leave you feeling good. No, love is about being for your good. Did you get that? It's not just about feeling good. It's about making sure that you are bettering the person, that they're better because of you. Now, if you naturally are that person that is kind of like a over-communicator of problems, you may want to figure out where the governor is to pull back so you're not just Debbie Downer. I'm sorry, Debbie. I don't know why that happens to you. Why you're negative Nancy? I'm sorry, Nancy. I don't know why that happens to you. But listen, we just need to make sure that we're around people that are lifting us up. And sometimes lifting us up hurts, right? Number four, love walks away. Walking away from who or what isn't healthy is actually love. It's loving God more than them. It's having a self-love and a self-preservation. It is love. Sometimes walking away is the most lovable thing or loving thing you can do, not just for them, but for you. And to honor God. Loving God and choosing to follow him will mean there will be some tables you no longer sit at. Some people you no longer hang with. It's not because you can't be friendly with them, but you realize you can't remain friends with them. And you go, wait, how are you preaching this? Well, because I care about you. And because love is honest. And the reality is we oftentimes think we're strong enough to pull them up. But most of the time our footing slips and they pull us down. Remember the scripture that talks about the clean cloth and the dirty cloth? And you can't clean a dirty cloth with a clean cloth. All it will do is dirty the clean cloth. This isn't a better than message. Don't get this twisted. This is we continue to help people move forward. But if somebody is resistant to wanting to change and you know what they are doing is unhealthy to you, be good to you and honor God and step away. Choose that kind of love. Look at Proverbs 18:24. I love the way the Amplified version says this. This is crazy. You're going to be like, this is in the Bible? Yes, it is. Ready? The man of many friends, meaning a friend of all the worlds, will prove himself a bad friend. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. What does that scripture mean? What it means is there are unhealthy people for you to be connected to. And somebody that wants to be friends with everybody is going to eventually be friends with nobody. To remain every connection and every friendship. To remain in everything. Are you getting that? Okay. I'll just move on then. Sometimes love will make you make hard choices. It will make you choose. You know, something I think of frequently is there are people that will come and go out of your life. There are people that will come and go out of the church. There are people that will come and go out of state. How they go is very important. How they go is very, very important. So many go in an honorable way and we love them. Some people, they leave in a bad way and in a way that's not honoring. And everyone thinks that it doesn't matter how they left, I'll just remain what I'm doing with them. Here's the issue. If the way they leave is dishonorable, it's going to be hard to see God continue to honor. And then you continue to knit yourself with them. I'm just being honest with you as a pastor. You can do whatever you want. I don't pay your bills. I can't tell you how to live. My kids. But what I will tell you is understand who you're connecting yourself with. Man, I want to be on that favor train. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I got favor. You got favor, let's hang out. Okay, I'm sorry. I get more excited than you do. Love walks away. Okay, sometimes love makes you make hard choices. Number five, love forgives. Yeah, that's a hard one. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times seven. That's a lot. That's like a lot. Someone says, well, does that mean I should just allow someone to walk on me every time? No, but here's the difference. Every time I say, well, what about this qualification? I've got to remind myself what Jesus did for me and how well I'm living up to his forgiveness. Did that make sense? Let me dig a little bit deeper. What I'm trying to say is how often we fall and fail and how often we need to ask Jesus to forgive us again. How often we need to come back. And although we don't mean to do it, here we are again coming back to the foot of the cross saying, Jesus, forgive me again. Hello? So rather than qualifying whether someone deserves our forgiveness or not, maybe we should shift our attention and remind ourselves of what Jesus does to us so that we can love them properly. Now listen, you can forgive somebody. It doesn't mean you immediately give them the trust card. People have to re-earn trusts, right? But I'll tell you this, we're not God, so why do we decide whether someone gets forgiveness? Love forgives, even when it's hard. That's why sometimes it's called long-suffering. Oh, that's not a fun word. Ephesians 4 says this, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. What does that mean? Making allowance for them to be humans and fail sometimes because you do too. And when we choose to give grace and choose to love people and choose to forgive, we continue to leave God's fingerprints, his trademark, Jesus' calling card. We leave it there. Are you getting this, church? So love makes room and allows for us to be humans. Number 6, love stretches. Have you ever tried to do some stretching? Especially if you're over that 25 to 30 year age. Some of you, you get beyond 40 and you start to stretch and you're like, oh, a hip! You know what I'm talking about? Stretching can be hard sometimes, and the less you stretch, the harder it is. So the less your love stretches, the harder it is to stretch. You've got to exercise the hard things in love, not just the quiet listening. Quiet listening's easy. Here's the problem that people have. Oftentimes, in their love and being quiet listeners, because they remain silent and don't speak up, it actually affirms, it's a silent affirmation of what the other person thinks. Because you did not correct them, they believe, you believe what they believe. I'm just loving them. No, you're not. They think you're on the same boat. That's burning. Okay. Look at love stretches. Back to number 6, because I jumped back to like 2 for you. To love is to go the extra mile, not just in service, but also in patience. Matthew 5 says this, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. God is a constant reminder that he is our source. What he's saying is you can go ahead and stretch, because I'm going to empower you. I'm going to enable you. The Holy Spirit at work in you is going to let you do things you couldn't do before. So even though you thought this was your end, this is where you could go until, I'm going to let you do that extra step if you would just do it. Go for it. Have the faith that I'm not going to let you fall on your face. Love, it stretches. And because I'm out of time, I'm going to give you number 7. Love serves. Love serves. And I know we talked a lot about this last week. But here's something Jesus says. It says this, the third time Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. This was all consecutively in a row. Do you love me? He said. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said what? Go to church. No, he didn't. Jesus said, mean well. No, he didn't. Jesus said, feed my sheep. What did he say? Serve. Serve others. Love others. Be involved in other people's worlds, but make it about my kingdom's purpose. So there are many faces of love. Sometimes love feels good. Sometimes love can be tough. But all the time, love is the answer. So let's choose to love when it's tough, when it's the last thing we want to do. Let's love in all situations. Let's choose to be more like Jesus. And in order to do that, we need to grow. Did you receive the words?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.